The lemon pepper wings at Magic City Con are really, really good. You get a private suite with the stripper poles. Hey, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season six, episode 20. And in addition to talking about the Snyder Cut of Justice League, which was freaking amazing, we're going to be talking to Brian Silverbacks, who is an Atlanta area based comic book creator, artist, and writer who created Loggerhead and many others. He's an actor who's appeared in several projects, including Walking Dead, Ozark, and The Outsider, and also a frequent guest on Radio Labyrinth. So welcome back to the show, Brian. Good to see you.
Hi. Hey, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm glad to see you guys. I was really looking forward to maybe driving to the studio. I wasn't sure if you guys were doing that yet, but I really look forward to that trip.
Not yet, but hopefully soon. The studio that Brian's talking about is the WSB radio studio where I work. That's where my job is, my full-time job. And we used to do it there, but because of the pandemic, well, we're not allowed to have any guests. But I will say that the three of us, Eric Von Hessler, myself, and Jared, were all in the studio today, and it felt, for the first time in a year, like we were doing a real radio show. So hopefully, everybody gets vaccinated, we can get back in there and all sit around and look at each other.
That is awesome to see. Like, this year's WrestleMania, they said they're going to have fans in the stands, whereas last year they didn't. So right. a lot of people are finding ways. Like there's a couple of conventions I'm going to this year. I'm going to Huntsville and they're going to be safe, and I'm going to go to Magic City Con in Birmingham there. So it's, I didn't do any last year.
Are you taking lemon really pepper wings to Magic City Con?
What's that?
The lemon pepper wings at Magic City Con are really, really good. You get a private suite with the stripper poles.
Yeah, that's unfortunate naming, because I think the Magic City is Birmingham. Like, it's like that's their town motto or something.
Oh, it
like
is?
That.
Okay.
Like it's their call sign or something for the town of Birmingham or the city of Birmingham.
I didn't know
it's that. Their version of Hotlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So. Well, it's unfortunate. There's no strippers. There's probably very little nakedness during normal business hours.
Right.
But I'm excited for this year. I'm excited for all the cool stuff. And it's great to see people like yourself saying, I'm starting to feel better because I'm going out and I'm seeing the people that I like seeing. I'm going to the work. I'm engaged in these things. And mentally, I think a lot of people are going to just benefit hugely from just interaction with another human being.
Yeah, that's the thing that I miss the most. And I can't speak for other people, but the thing I miss most is I'm kind of like, oh, I don't ever want to go out. But when I wanted to go out, I went out, right?
Yeah. And then,
but it's just the simple things of going into a convenience store on your way to work, getting a cup of coffee and whatever else you need, and smiling and saying hello and maybe having a small conversation or any of that little bit of stuff that, you know, just makes your day go by. And now I'm doing that again. I think I said on the radio this morning, I knew I was back in the mode of driving back to work when I was screaming in my car at cyclists who were, you know, doing their morning exercise. Get out of the road. Rah, rah. But, you know, that's just a typical thing for me, being grumpy. But being happy to see, there are people at work that have been going in every day since we stopped going in that I haven't seen in over a year. So it's,
oh, really?
So it's nice. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can't be happier to be back.
I'm excited, man.
I hope that this year, you know, again, with the people getting vaccinated, that we can go to conventions, you can have a Dragon Con. Obviously, there's still going to be some, you know, protected areas and stuff, and they might not have the parade. I don't know. I just would love it if it got back to normal. Anyway, I'm sure we all would.
Well, with all that said, I think 2020 may be my year to break out and like actually be a little bit better. Well, I guess every year is a little bit better than the year before.
Sure.
But I think something inside me says this year might be the year.
2021.
Yes. So tell I thought it was going to be last year. It turned out it took a big dump on that.
How's Loggerhead doing?
Loggerhead's doing great. Well, like, I think last time I talked to you, this was pre-COVID at the time.
Right.
And COVID shut down the pre-orders, like, because the distribution center shut down during COVID. And it was during the 4 weeks of ordering Loggerhead. So that got interrupted and people were allowed to cancel their orders. You know, half the comic book shops in the USA shut down. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it got back to up to normal, you know, whatever numbers I did, I'm sure it would have been more had there been nothing. But it came out and the people that read it liked it. It wasn't like this huge reception for Loggerhead, but the handful of people that were able to get a copy and had been working with or watching me go through these steps, those people enjoyed it, said that they enjoyed it.
Right. And a lot of your fans that are following along on social media see you working on it and doing the prep work for it and putting it out. So they're there with you while you're mixing the, you know, the hot dog mix.
Yeah.
And you know, then they open up the casing and there it is.
For me, I like to treat it like I'm a very big movie guy and I love watching the behind the scenes stuff. So when you're watching me on social media, you're getting all the bonus footage and all that extra director's cut stuff prior to actually getting the product. So you'll get to see how everything was kind of put together and then you'll have to go to the store and pick up the final copy. But that I just think it's fun. I like to share. And at the same time, I also hope that somebody benefits from maybe watching me make a mistake or do something that maybe they hadn't thought of, like, oh shit, I could do that. That's awesome.
Hey, the other day I had time to kill in Marietta and I went to a comic book store. And you can't see them if you're listening, but I
bought. Yeah, so Nuclear Family from Aftershock Comics.
Yes, that's a number one. And I just, you know, I buy number ones if it looks interesting so I can start from the beginning. I don't really get into superheroes anymore because you'd have to go back and you'd have to explain the story to me. And this one, interesting, it's called Two Moons and it's about a Native American fighting for the Union and there's all sorts of demons in it and it's cool. So I like it. Science. Yeah,
that's the thing about independent comics is most of the way that independent comics are being sold now is they're buying chunks of story at a time. So when you go to pitch them, you have to have a beginning and an end point. It doesn't have to definitively end, but you need to say, here's these four issues of this story I have. And on the fourth story, we'll resolve some issues, but it will leave it open like for a sequel. And so they'll buy it already finished. But so the consumer, you know that you're only going to get like a three to six issue story. And then your investment is like, you don't have to worry about, oh, I'm going to miss an issue or whatever. Like,
right.
So that's the way that independent and they're steering away from the superhero stories because Marvel and DC have that shit on lock.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there aren't a lot of, go ahead.
No, that's cool. Like there's another comic book series that just came out called Black Cotton and it flips. It's just a retelling of, like the Civil War times, but the African Americans were the majority and white people were the slaves. And it's kind of telling a story.
Oh, that's right up my alley. I love alternative history. I think that stuff's really cool. So it's called Black Cotton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
But so there's all kinds of stuff. And you got those two books. I'm working on a couple of new projects that I don't even know. There's one called Department of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's basic. From what I understand, it is X-Files, but with conspiracy theories. Like,
you're working on that?
I did a cover for one issue.
Okay.
And so I ended up selling out, dude. That kind of shit didn't happen to me. And so we had 500 copies, and all 500 copies sold out, and it's not even available for 2 months. So that was pretty baller.
That's pretty damn cool.
Like I could barely walk upstairs because my head was so big. Like it just kept getting on the ceiling. I was like, oh shit, what's going on?
That's great. Jeff, you were going to say something, were you?
You got a new project that you're doing a Kickstarter for?
Yes, yes. So Loggerhead, when I came in with you guys, I teased that I didn't tease it, but I stated that it's part of a bigger universe that I'm working on. And so last year during the pandemic, I did a handbook, which is like a biographical page of information on 10 characters or 20 characters that live inside this world called Kara Prime. And Loggerhead was one of those characters. So now fast forward to today, which is a year from about when I did the Kickstarter, is I've found 25, 27, somewhere in there, other creative people that are trying to help me build the Cara Prime thing. So they've donated their writing talents and their drawing talents so that I can put together this like 100-page graphic novel full of 5 to 6 page stories from all those characters that were in the handbook. And you'll get to see them. And each story is written by a different writer who has written professionally. And all of the artwork is done by artists who have done artwork professionally. So it's, and they're doing this with the only expectation of once we go live on Kickstarter, that they'll get an equal portion of the pie once it's divvied up. So there's no guarantee. You could get, everybody could get $20, or everybody could get, you know, $1,500, depending on how successful the campaign goes. So they've donated basically their time, their effort, their skills, and their quality to help bring up, you know, 16 to 17 different characters inside of the Cara Prime universe. And that to me makes my heart feel kind of cool. Yeah. Because they actually, it's almost like they give a shit about what I'm doing. I don't know. Like, I don't deserve it, but it's fun to know that it's happening.
So when that goes live, make sure to share it with us so we can share.
April 13th.
Okay.
So, hey, here's the thing. Real quickly, if anybody's listening, you can go to caraprime.com, which is K-E-R-R-A prime.com. And that'll take you right to the Kickstarter page where you can say, tell me when it goes live.
Cool.
Cool.
And I know that you guys are kind of removed from the comic book collecting. But most Kickstarters nowadays, they'll have like 18 different covers and a gold cover and a diamond cover and all this other shit that they got going on. Like, I'm not trying to do that. I have the cover that you get and that's it. Like, my goal is not to raise $1 million, but I'd rather sell 1 million copies. Like, I'd rather just put the books in hands. I'm not trying to say this is the 1 in 5 million variant cover that only one person will have. I'm trying to get as many copies out to as many people as possible to read and promote.
Hey, I got some.
Oh, Planet of the Apes, The Boys. There you go.
Yes.
Have you read The Boys?
Most of it, yeah.
So are you familiar with the scene where Homelander has an adult moment and produces liquid from his penis?
No, I haven't seen that.
All right. Well, apparently it's a big deal in the comic books, but they've been
screws himself, right?
No.
At the end of when he's on top of the building jerking off.
Yeah.
No, not quite. No. So he's having sex and he reaches orgasm and it is quite the event.
Okay.
And in the comic books, and they've also confirmed that that's going to take place in the next season of The Boys. Okay. So that's pretty hilarious.
We love The Boys. So what have you been doing? Jeff told me that you're, and I've seen it on Instagram. You're in a couple of TV shows that are shooting.
All right. So yesterday I was on set yesterday.
Don't get in trouble now.
Not going to get in trouble, but I can tell you that it's a humongous size. Like if you took a soccer field and stood it upright, that's the size of the blue screen.
Whoa.
Outdoors in this area where I was yesterday.
Okay.
And I also had to pretend like I was in the state of New York. That's all I can say about yesterday.
Well, let's see that.
There's a whole bunch of things, but so let's see. I did the Creep Show. I didn't even know Creep Show was a show.
Isn't that on Shudder?
Yes.
Yes.
And it's it's an old school comic book that's kind of like Tales from the Crypt or like Twilight Zone, but in a horror vibe.
Yeah.
So I got to be part of the first opening season three premiere episode. It's going to be about a prison, and I get to play a prisoner. And there's some spiders. Not that that has anything to do with the movie from yesterday, but there's some spiders that are involved in the prison thing.
Not that it has anything to do with the movie. Okay, now I figured out what you're talking about.
So it was cool when I worked on the Creep Show, which is right down. Oh, what road was? I don't know, dude. I passed a homeless camp. Like to get to the parking lot, there's Tent City outside, and they're burning barrels.
Where's this?
It is. shoot, I can't remember where it was, what road it was on. There's like a huge nightclub right across the street, but it is low income in that area. But they had this strip club, right? Or I don't even know if it was a strip club, but the cops were there Friday night. And there was like six cops just prowling by because it was just so much traffic. And that's the only thing on the road.
Wow.
But so that's where the studio was. So I was like, dude, I'm driving. This is frightening because they said, can you work for the whole week? And I was like, oh, shit, man. So I get there and turns out I had a lot of fun and I worked for the whole week to finish up the episode. And that was really cool because it was a small group of us getting to play inmates.
Yeah, that's fun. And
yeah, but I don't normally get to play inmates. I normally get to play police officers, which brings me to the other series that I was on this week or a couple months ago. There's a show called, it's a singing show.
I don't know. That's a good show.
No, it's a show. Step Up.
Step Up
the series. I guess it's based on like the TV show or something.
Hmm.
But it's about like a R&B singer who has made it big and he's all the trials and tribulations. It's kind of like it seems like it's Empire light.
Right.
But it's on Stars. But so the lead actor in that series is Neo, the R&B singer.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to play a cop on that show. And there was only six of us cops on the set that day. And I'm the only one that used to be a real cop.
Uh-huh.
And so when I put all the shit on, they looked at me and they're like, all right, we're going to have you do something special. Because there was one of these cops needed to put the lead star under house arrest for something, right? Mm-hmm. One of these cops was going to have a direct interaction with the cast. Everybody else is kind of walking in the background. And they looked at me and they're like, all right, that dude looks like a cop and we need to have him be our guy. So I was selected out of the six guys to be the guy. So while we're doing this, there's a moment in time where I'm work and I'm nose to nose with Neo because he's complaining about how I'm treating him and I'm about to have to put him down in his place.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we're standing he's a little shorter than I am, but we're standing nose to nose and about to go to fisticuffs when his lawyer comes in and breaks it up. And dude, that was probably the coolest, most actor-like I've ever felt in any of the shit that I've done. Like I actually got to, like, it felt really visceral for me.
Yeah.
And was kind of cool at the end of the day.
How many, who are the most famous people that you've been either in a scene with or worked with on site or seen or met?
Let's see. So I worked with Barry Bostwick on Undercover Brother 2. He was my boss.
Barry Bostwick. So wasn't he on what show was he on? He's on a lot of shows.
Oh, he was on Spin City. He was the mayor of Spin City.
That's right. And but, also Rocky Horror, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Barry Bostwick, and on that same movie set, I was in we did a scene with Michael Jai White.
Ah, cool.
Because he was the main guy. Basically the whole cast of The Walking Dead, like that week that I was working on The Walking Dead for season 8, because mm-hmm. we were all outside. So there wasn't like a whole bunch of places that everybody could be. So like the extras and the same guy, like we were all kind of just all there. But you know that, hey, we're not allowed over there. We're right. not worthy. So we don't go over there. But you didn't get to see that. But as far as interaction goes, like the most fun I've had is with Kane Hodder when I did you remember Tony, right? Tony Reams, the director, came in there and did Playtime's Over. He was doing another movie thing that I did the poster for. And one of the scenes inside of his movie required Kane Hodder to do like this infomercial piece. Mm-hmm. And so we filmed it in Atlanta and Tony let me be on set all day just to hang out and be friends with like Kane Hodder all day. So we were sitting on the couch and they're all doing like director and grip and key grip and makeup stuff. And just Kane and I are just sitting down bullshitting the whole day talking about all kinds of stuff. That was probably the most cool interaction I've had doing that. And that wasn't even like doing background acting.
And you were on The Outsider too.
Oh yeah. Well, my butt was right. Yeah. So there was this one
scene. Nude?
Yeah, no, it was covered up by a blue folder that he kept carrying from room
it was
to room.
Manila.
It was Manila. It was a Manila. It was
Manila. Right. But so there was this one there was as I was watching the series, because I played a cop again that worked inside the precinct. So whenever
stop
they did
typecast, Brian. Stop being typecast.
Well, I only apply to the ones that say police required, because I know the pool for me to pick for them to pick from is smaller. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, I got a better chance than I just say, oh, white male ages 20 to 60. I'm like, well, I don't want to deal with that. So I want to try to get smaller ones. Maybe it's a more defined role or whatever. So that's what I do. But there was one scene where the lead or one of the characters in Outsider broke her ankle and she was walking on crutches.
Yeah.
And she's walking into the police precinct and there's a police officer that jogs past her to open the door for her so she can go into the thing. That's me. So I did that move. And then when I watch it on the television, they put a line in there that says, let me get that for you. And I was like, I didn't say that. And they didn't want to pay me to say the line. Cause if you have lines on the set, they have to upgrade you, or it's right. No longer that.
Don't you join SAG if that happens?
I'm so naive to how everything works, but I know that they're afraid to give you lines because they don't want to pay you.
Right. Yeah, they can save money in ADR. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And I was like, dude, I would have gladly said that. So I have yet to speak. That's how you know that you're not worth it.
A creep show?
No. I just got to wiggle the bars and act like a crazy man.
That's still cool, though.
It is cool. Well, so they were giving us roles. They're like, all right, everybody get in their cell. So I got my cell. And he's like, the assistant director was like giving everybody, like, I want you to walk from here to here. I want you to go talk to Bill. And he was giving everybody jobs. And he came up to me and I was like, dude, I think I just want to sit back and watch everything go. I'm the fucking kingpin watching here. And he was like, I like that. So I just, like, for the first scene, I'm just like propped up against my cell wall. And while all the stupid action is going on, I'm just sitting there just like scanning and surveying, taking it all in, because you know, there's got to be one of those guys.
Right.
That's awesome. You get tested every day on set.
So the way that it works now is everywhere I've done, you test 2 days before you're supposed to shoot, okay, or 2 days before you have interaction. So if I had, like, for the New York Manhattan movie, I had to test. And then 2 days later, I went to go get fitted for my costumes. And then, you know, you shoot a month after that. So then I waited. And then 2 days before shooting, I go take a test. And then when you get there, they do the temperature and they make you do the thing. But if you have direct contact with the talent, it turns out every other day you get tested if you're going to be there, like, continuously.
Right.
So on Creepshow, I was not tested the first day because I tested the day before. But then the second day we tested on scene. And then the 2 days after that, we tested on scene again.
They're just doing the nasal swab.
Anal.
Right. Yeah. Just not rolling around. One.
All right.
I want the anal one. I refuse to work unless I get the anal test. It's more accurate and fun.
They did have one that said extra large, but I wasn't willing to give that one a shot.
You need a baseball bat for me. Yeah.
Someone's blowing you out.
All loose.
So I'm having a lot of fun. And last year, 2020, there was no jobs to be had. There was no extra background. All that stuff would shut down. And just here recently, like in November, they started posting jobs available that were going to start shooting in December and January. But those things didn't even start happening till the 1st of November.
When I went out to work this morning, I always turn right on La Vista in Tucker. I don't know if you've been there, but downtown Tucker, I turn right on La Vista and just take La Vista in. And I get to the end of the street to make the turn. And I look at the church across the street and the entire parking lot's filled with trailers. There's a giant RV bus there too. And then there's portable bathrooms, and they were shooting in downtown Tucker. There's like an insurance building that they turned into a coffee shop. So I don't know if it's a series or if it's a film, but they're shooting all day long. And when I came home from work, they were shooting. So, I mean, they're busy.
It's crazy the amount of work that is available that is going on right now. I mean, there's a reason that The Rock brought a house in Cobb County. You know what I mean?
Rock?
The Rock. Yeah. He lives like 3 or 4 streets down.
Wow. Where do you move?
Yeah, in Conyers, everything's active. We've got Doom Patrol's doing their next season, and there's probably all the studios are filled over behind the driver's license place in the business park. Every one of them slap full. I went through the other day.
And to speak to the growth, this large studio that I was working at this weekend, I think they already have like 22 warehouse size studios on the lot, but they're already framed up like 4 or 5 more that were in construction that I viewed yesterday. And I've also heard that they're putting in one that you can do underwater filming. So it's going to be like a huge like aquarium style with acrylic glass and stuff or something. I don't know, but these guys are balling.
When do you think Hollywood's just going to move the sign here and put it up on Kennesaw Mountain?
I don't know because apparently they only have to pay, you know, pennies on the dollar for extras over here because it's a right to work state.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're bringing that and the tax breaks. But so for like background extra over in California, they're probably getting paid like a minimum $500 a day. And that is not what they are paying us here.
No. Here's $20. You're lucky.
Yeah.
So you drove, you get a $20 bump.
Oh, yeah. If you drive, you get a $20 bump. Is that what you said?
If they use your car for something, yeah, you'll get an addition for the car. Yeah, it's the weirdest little hierarchy of you know, check boxes. Like you were saying, I'm sure you get a, you know, and when they're looking for the male 20 to 60, you know, that price is the base. And then once you can specialize.
I haven't noticed that, but what, like, so sometimes they'll be like, if we're going to put makeup on you, then here'll be an extra couple dollars. If you got to be topless, here's a couple of extra dollars. And then while we're on set, they're like, we want someone to smoke a cigarette. Who wants to take a cigarette bump? And then everyone will raise their hand about you, come over here. So they'll pay you like extra to be smoking in the scene, or, you know, there's all these different, like, whenever they ask for you or do something, you raise your hand and say, I'll do it. And then you'll get like $20 or $40 extra or some shit.
Well, dude, let me change direction here. Did you watch Justice League, the Snyder cut?
I did.
Yeah.
What did you
think of it?
Well, first off, we're so starved for content that it's hard for me to understand if it was good or if I was just that blue balled from not having much else prior to this, but I really enjoyed it.
We were talking before the show started, and I know Steph didn't watch it, so I didn't want to, she's in the waiting room, but I didn't want to bother her with it because she didn't watch it, but maybe I'll bring her in anyway. So we'll bring her in and we'll start talking about it. But to me, and you're a comic book artist, so you may understand what I'm trying to say. Hi, Steph.
Hey.
Say hi to Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I don't have a cool lava lamp.
Not many people do. That's what sets me apart.
Ooh, it's splitting right now. Look at it. The slow split. No, we were talking the Justice League to me, from start to finish. Okay. First of all, let me preface it by saying I did not like the Joss Whedon release at all. I didn't understand what the hell was going on. And I like DC characters a lot more than I like Marvel characters. For the most part, I've always been a Spider-Man fan. And when I was younger, I liked Iron Man, but I've, you know, always just really preferred JLA and any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
From the moment that movie started, and I had to stop it because I'm old. So I did 2 hours on Friday, 2 hours on Saturday. The scenes where it was taking, it was like that Zack Snyder, like direction where it's a slow transition.
Yeah.
I'll just say Flash. It felt like to me that you were reading a graphic novel, and it was the first time I've ever seen that lifted out of a superhero comic book and put onto a screen. If that makes any sense to anybody.
It's
hard for me to convey what I'm trying to say.
I thought they did a really good job with that in The Watchmen. Like, it felt like there were like panels lifted off. Yeah. The Watchmen movie.
Yeah.
And dude, the Dread movie with Carl Urban, like there's specific things great. In there.
Yes.
It feels like you are inside of a comic book panel. And even though John Wick wasn't a comic book first, John Wick with that blue and the purple and the green lighting and shit, like that felt very comic book to me. But yeah, so the Justice League, I picture when he's doing those slow mo shots, like it would just be like a full wide panel.
Yeah.
And would almost have like a huge perspective distortion on whatever thing's swinging by the camera and stuff. It was really, really cinematic.
Yes. Yes. And that's what I enjoyed about it. And it was, you know, we were like I said, we were talking and the character development that it takes to make a movie like that. Marvel did it over what, 4 or 5 films plus all the side films and stuff like that. So you knew who was fighting. JLA had none of that if you watched the first one. And so you're like, who's this? What's this? Blah, 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 blah. But the characters, they took time to explain who they are, why they have the motivation to be who they are. Like Ezra Miller's Flash, Barry Allen. You didn't, and if you watched the first one, you didn't know, you know, you had to do other things to find out. But this explained who he was, his motivation. His dad's in jail. He wants to get him out. Aquaman, Arthur Curry, his character had a little more. Victor Stone, a.k.a. Cyborg. You had no idea, really. His dad made him in the first one, and that's all you knew. And he was mad at it.
Yeah.
This one, it just expanded it. And his character is so cool. He's like the hero of the film.
Yeah, I really liked that. So they didn't waste their time giving us any more background, Batman or Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. Or like they preface it with like, here's what we already kind of told you. And then we do get a lot of backstory for Cyborg and for Flash to kind of justify what they're doing here, what their role is, and what their abilities are, because we're coming into this movie supposedly without any information on those guys.
Yeah, and Steppenwolf. What, Jeff?
That's right.
Yeah, Steppenwolf. You had no idea why he was there. In the Snyder cut, you know why he's there, and you know that he's there for Darkseid.
He's trying to win favor.
Yeah. I want to get back in his good graces. Steph hated it. She noped out after 5 minutes. Is that what you said, or 15?
It was about 15 minutes, and I was
done. What drove you crazy the most? You can be honest. Yes, the music.
Every scene, I was just... It's like they took all the music from 300 and scored this movie with it. And I just couldn't do it anymore. Like they showed Wonder Woman up on the thing and it was like the Lion King music again or whatever. And I just, no. Yeah. You know how I loved the Joker. I thought the Joker was badass. When you said Dredd, that's one of my all time favorites. I've seen that movie probably 20 times.
I recently rewatched that one.
It's so good. Yeah. Right. But yeah, just God. Yeah.
They did a follow up in comic book form to Dredd. Called Judge Dredd Underbelly, which is the follow, like if it's basically like what Dredd 2 would be. So they made a comic book of it.
I gotta find that Carl Urban interview I did before I it was radio, so it was 2014 or 2015, whenever he was at Dragon Con. I interviewed him, and then I got
in Dragon Con like 2 years ago.
Well, this is before then. This was the regular guys was still on, so that's when I interviewed him. For a while there at the end of the regular guy's show, we each got to interview people we liked individually, record it, and then we would just go smoke.
So with Justice League, I was a little put off by some of the CG. Like some of that shit really looked unrefined. And I was like, where did your $70 million go? Like,
well, he did it in his house.
Jared Leto charge you?
Didn't he do it in his house?
I'm sure he did. That's just me being picky. It's not enough for me to say, oh, well, I'll never watch that shit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that bad, but it was noticeable, like, ooh, that's a little tough. That's Scorpion King.
He took more special effects away from the existing footage than he added in, which is crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, the half the battle is just removing that red color grade that Josh Whedon put on everything.
Right. The color grade. And he also took all the, like, anytime that a character takes off, whether it be Superman flying or Aquaman going, that you never see the initial push, the initial, like, disruption of the ground. Mm-hmm. It's like with Aquaman, when he jumps off the pier, he just disappears in this one. There's no line shooting out that he shot out real fast. You don't actually see him swim till halfway through the movie, which is nuts. I mean, he likes to be more subtle.
One thing I read that bummed me out, but I also think is cool, is he shot a Green Lantern scene at the end for the end. And DC said no, or not DC, but Warner Brothers said, no, we don't want that. And which, you know, speculation, either there's a series coming or whatever.
They're supposed to be working on a CW series.
Is it going to be Hal Jordan?
No, it's Jon Stewart.
All right. So that's, he shot the Jon Stewart. And so he said, all right, well, I won't do that. And then he just went ahead and did Martian Manhunter, which was also cool. But I would have liked to have seen Martian Manhunter in the film. I understand why he showed up late, but Martian Manhunter is a cool ass character.
See, yeah, I don't have any bias for Martian Manhunter.
Hmm?
I don't have any I've not been exposed. I didn't read a lot of DC, so I didn't. It wasn't like a super huge, like, oh my God, there's Martian Manhunter.
He's not really like, you know, a top book or whatever. I don't know if they even do that anymore, but I always liked the character. I liked it I've watched all the animated movies that they put out, and I've always liked those a lot more than I like Marvel. My favorite Marvel animated ones are the Black Panther one that came out a couple years before the movie. I thought that was amazing. And in the Spider-Man multiverse, I thought was great.
Marvel's animation, as far as movies goes, pales in comparison to the animated stuff DC chalks out.
Oh yeah.
DC for sure. Puts out some really baller stuff.
Yeah. The whole dark universe stuff is amazing with Constantine.
And now it's all available on, it's all available now on HBO Max too. They have their own channel.
I did. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you guys are wrestling fans, but now WWE's on the Peacock network. So I can watch My Office. I can watch Resident Alien, and then I can go right into WrestleMania.
Old stuff.
Oh yeah. It's the old network. So you can go back and watch old shit too.
Cause I want to watch old. This past weekend was the anniversary of, I forget which one it was, but it was 1994. There were some great matches. Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels. What a great... Do you remember that, Steph? Were you into WWE?
I wasn't watching as much in the 90s, around 94. I think I kind of drifted off around 90. About 1990 is when I stopped watching it as much.
Yeah, when you actually, you know, grew up.
See, I didn't really get back into wrestling until about 96 when I was done with basic training and I made it to Fort Bragg. All my coworkers every Tuesday would talk about the wrestling and I was tired of being left out of conversation. So I made it a point to watch Monday Night Wrestling. And then that was right in the heart of the Attitude Era. And from there, I just never gave up.
I switched from WWF at the time to WCW when I saw Triple H having sex with somebody in a coffin. I said, all right, this is enough for me. I'm not going to watch this. And then everybody I liked went to WCW anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then eventually they got beaten out. But those wars that they were having for a number of years.
Well, all of that, the whole war, all that stuff is available on the network. Like there's a 20-part docuseries called The Monday Night Wars.
What?
Where you can watch all... It covers it is amazing to watch for anybody that was actually watching wrestling at the time.
Well, I know what I'm going to be doing for the next month.
Dude, it's crazy. It's a lot of fun. Like your nostalgia bones just get to jingling. You're like a big skeleton man just jingling all around.
Well, Brian, thank you for coming on the show. We do two. I don't know if you know. Yeah, well, of course you know that. We do two a week, so they're a little bit shorter. Do you want to please give all your plugs and everything before we wrap?
Really? I just at Brian Silverbacks.
Well, spell
Brian
it.
With a Y, people Silverbacks with an X.
Okay.
On anything. And then right now, Kara Prime, K-E-R-R-A, prime.com is for the new anthology project that goes on sale April 13th.
Awesome. We really appreciate you taking the time to be with us, man. And
I hope I get to see you at Dragon Con this year.
We hope to see you. Yeah, hope to see you before that, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Let's all get... We need to have some sort of event where we can all get together, and we would invite you, of course, but we need to all get together.
Maybe we'll head back down to what's his name, Mike's Gyros and Pizza,
Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Why don't we do that? We'll do it in the parking lot if people are nervous.
So well, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, man, thanks for coming on. All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro, serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. 3. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
Remember when we all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh.
I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them 2 extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices. If you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about
he should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right? Man, he is so cool. I love that he came on the show. And
yeah.
I'm excited for him, man, being in the cool movies and his comic books. And again, just to reiterate, it's Kara Prime, K-E-R-R-A Prime.com. And if you want to follow Brian on any of the socials, it's at Silverbanks. So SILVERBAX.
We'll put that up as closer it gets to. We'll make sure we keep it up for him.
I don't know if we had any news yet, but he was trying to get into that Black Adam, the Rock movie that he's filming here. So.
Oh, he didn't mention that. Or we would have,
yeah. He probably didn't hear anything yet, but they had a casting call that he was good for, and I know he applied for it.
Everybody send good vibes out, good juju out, and get him into that movie. I didn't know The Rock had moved to Marietta or Cobb County.
Yeah, he bought a house here a couple of years ago, like a big mansion.
I thought I could smell something cooking when I was there. It smells like The Rock.
You jabroni.
Yeah, he should open a little restaurant called Jabroni's.
Jabronis, yeah, that would be great. What would he serve?
Out by where your dad lives.
Oh, geez, do you like to rock? Oh, geez, Rocky. Oh, gosh.
So, I think doesn't he always eat like a dozen donuts on his cheat day?
Who, The Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know. I wouldn't want to smell what he's cooking days, that day.
His cheat days are insane, and he documents them on Instagram or whatever. His meals that he eats on his cheat day are...
Well, if he has a vaccine card, he can get a free one from Krispy Kreme
every day.
Oh, really?
For a year. Every day for a year.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah, multiple times? Oh, that's right. Because you just go to a different store.
Oh, sweet. I didn't know that. When did they start doing that?
Today.
Yeah, I think it was today.
Oh.
I mean, who are they trying to convince to get the vaccine?
I don't know. Just the donut lover. Conspiracy theorists.
I wasn't going to get the vaccine, but I really like Krispy Kreme.
Okay, they done it, Harold. It's time to go get one.
Okay, let's go get some donuts. We got our jab. Steph, I don't know. You should give it another shot, but you know, you're like me. Yeah, I'm not going to give it another shot.
Break it up by chapters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though, right? This music.
Yeah, it's like Battlestar Galactica. Isn't that Bear Creary? What's his name?
Bear McCreary.
Yeah, didn't he do the music for BSG and The Walking Dead?
Yeah, maybe.
Hmm.
For me, Zack Snyder, the best movie that he ever did and probably ever will do is Dawn of the Dead 2004. I don't think he'll ever do a better movie. And I mean, 300 was cool, whatever.
That's a watch once.
Yeah, but Dawn of the Dead, I mean, that is his masterpiece.
Right.
I can never get tired of it, and just it's wonderful.
Okay.
You probably has a bad taste left in my mouth after this last Wonder Woman, which was such a pile of shit.
He didn't do that, though, did he?
I know, no. But it's just the characters and just seeing them again. It's just.
I will say that her character I can't knock anything in that movie. And you know me, I like to pick things up. I hate it. I'm not going to watch it.
There was a lot of slow motion. That was the only thing that.
But if you view it as what it's supposed to represent. To me, I accepted it because, like I said, to me, it was like turning a page in a graphic novel. Like, remember that one Justice League they did where it was like realistic art? And yeah. It's a long time ago when this came out, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it was a series. And everybody was drawing, like, Shazam was in it and Batman and Superman. And I forget what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about, right? The cover, it's drawn like art. It's like watercolor.
Is that like Ross?
I don't know, he
does lifelike,
but it just had to it. And you know, I like the Marvel movies. I think they're cool and everything, but they really are the one-liner, the one-liner, the one-liner, the one-liner. And this doesn't have that. I mean, there are jokes, but you know, Barry Allen, again, you know, in the Whedon cut, it's just, here's a joke. I'm a crazy guy. I'm like Spider-Man. I'm like Peter Parker. And then this movie gives him a whole thing. And so I'll stop blathering about it.
Well, no, I mean, I know what you're saying. Of course, the first couple of Batmans with Bale, that's how I felt about them. They were like real movies.
Yeah, they were, though. Yeah, they were fantastic. Bane, third one wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't. But those first couple, it was different. It was real. And, there was a lot more there. This is just, I don't, you know, he always gets this thing about it being too stylized. I guess maybe I'm just, it's just a taste thing. I don't really like the stylized shit.
It's also a 4-hour commitment. So I get it.
I felt like, you know, I got through probably 19 minutes of it, and I felt it could have been pared down to 8 minutes. Right out the gate, he doesn't edit it enough.
Let's move on to something that I'll just finish what else I watched. I watched a movie that Steph recommended called Uncle Peckerhead, and I freaking loved it.
Yay!
You guys watch that?
I haven't watched it yet. What's that on?
Was it HBO Max?
I think I watched it on Prime. I don't remember where I watched it, but I think it was Prime. Did you watch it, Dustin?
No, I've sat down to watch it a couple of times and just haven't pushed play.
Well, it's a very, very low budget horror film with a funny story, good acting, and the guy who plays Uncle Peckerhead is just fantastic. I think he's my favorite character, and I'm rooting for him because the people that he kills are like, yeah, they deserved it.
I haven't seen it or seen any promos for it, but I'm picturing him as like the Six Flags guy.
No, he looks like he looks like just a guy you'd see at a diner at 2 a.m, like a truck driver kind of feel, right? He's an older guy with a beard. He looks like an Uncle Peckerhead.
Yeah,
you can call me.
And would you? The end of it was great, though. You have to admit.
Oh yeah, everything.
The end of it was perfect.
Yep. So if you like fun horror movies with really good, by the way, I like the punk music. I don't know who did it. If they actually did it themselves or whatever, I didn't bother looking into it, but. It really had a 90s feel to it. Nobody's carrying around cell phones, and they're not, you know, that was the one thing I noticed. It's set in our era, but nobody had cell phones, and they're all giving out cassette tapes. Here's our tape. Okay. Right.
And it was so gory.
Yeah, it was very,
even for being low budget, it was really gory. I thought they did a good job with all that.
I also watched The Vast of Night. Did you guys watch that?
I watched it a couple months ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I've seen it. It's not fresh in my memory, but I've seen it.
Well, it is a 2019 movie, came out last May. And I've had it in my queue to watch for a long time. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. And it's basically a switchboard operator, you know, an operator with I'll connect you. And the radio host in this small town in New Mexico. There's a little alien conspiracy and stuff, but it's fun. And there's a lot of cool radio shit into it. So if you're into old radio stuff, that's kind of what drew me in. But it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought that's why I thought you would like it. When you mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah, you'll dig it. Cause you know, just the old radio, the time that it's set. And I like the conspiracy theory part, or, you know, what it kind of alludes to.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, a
weird ending that I enjoyed very much.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it too.
Then I watched Caitlyn Jenner get kicked off of the Masked Singer, but boy, what pipes. Boy, do I have some great pipes. Wow, I was the Phoenix. They kicked me off. Oh, geez. And I was going to watch Falcon and the Winter Snowman, but didn't get around to it because Justice League, you know, set the bar too high. But I plan on watching it this week. I hear it's fantastic. And could we talk about it on Thursday?
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
I'm done. To quote Jeff's dad, my old speech teacher, who's next?
I watched that last Pirate Kingdom on Netflix. It's like a docudrama where they have like actors acting out scenes, but then they also have like history experts interspersed discussing like the actual facts of the pirates. That was pretty cool. I watched all of it.
What are the two big reasons to watch it?
That Mia Tomlinson plays Anne Bonny.
Okay.
Some topless action in there.
Well, when you Google her name, the first thing that pops up is Mia Tomlinson measurements. So I figured it out.
Watched Stand the Servant. Terrible season 2.
Was it?
Yeah. I'm watching For All Mankind still on Apple TV. Watched Wellington Paranormal. It's hilarious as always. Today I watched that Nate Bargatze Greatest Average American that just came out on Netflix.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's like it's an outdoor show that they did. Like, I don't think it was a drive-in, but it was like some kind of outdoor venue in, I think, Orlando. And he has to like stop the show a couple times because like helicopters fly over and stuff.
Yeah, he's a funny dude. That was going to be my staff pick.
And he was hilarious. So that's a good one. It's on Netflix. Just came out.
Yeah, he's from Knoxville, where I'm from.
And cool. He was very funny. I'm going to watch his other specials. I don't think I've seen. He's got like two more specials on Netflix that I haven't seen. And my staff pick is going to be the Mighty Ducks series that's coming to Disney Plus.
Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, Emilio Estevez is in it, and Lauren Graham.
Are you watching it for Lauren Graham?
I'm Lauren Graham.
You're a fan of her. She's a good actress. You like?
And I saw the first Mighty Ducks movie. I never saw any of the sequels, and I enjoyed the first Mighty Ducks movie. It was okay.
I thought Emilio Estevez only did a religious stuff now. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a kids series. I mean, they're not going to go crazy.
They brought back all the original kids too, right?
Except for that one that had all the legal problems and the drug problems
and stuff. Yeah, but he's even doing better. I saw that too. Those pictures that went around of him at his worst.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's way past that, but that's cool.
I'm waiting for the Sandlot series.
You do like Sandlot. I know that for a fact.
I do. Yeah.
I want the Goonies series. Are any of them alive?
Yeah. The Goonies series.
That'd be.
Working except for Josh Brolin, really.
Yeah, I don't see him doing it.
Yeah, he's not doing anything. let's see. I watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Justice League. I watched Relic, the one movie that Gus was talking about on the Radio Shack
a few
weeks ago. It's available on Prime right now. I like it because I like the atmosphere and the kind of very, very, very slow burn that it is. It's very reminiscent of Babadook, but it deals with dementia and loyalty to a dying parent to an extent that I've I've never seen. It's very interesting. But I think a lot of people, it's very slow. I mean, it's extremely slow. It could have been a 30-minute short film,
right.
But it looks nice. I mean, and there's some creepy parts to it, but it's worth a watch, but just one. You wouldn't want to watch it again. I watched Debris, the newest episode of Debris on NBC. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, I'm still enjoying that.
Yeah.
Even though it's like not a huge blip on the radar, but it's fun, a fun show to watch.
Yeah, it reminds me how Fringe was taken too, how it was a good show and it was, you know, kind of went under the radar and then it got axed after a few, you know, they tried to rush right. it to an ending. But we'll see. I hope they keep it going. And then my staff pick is The Irregulars, starts on Netflix on Friday. It's a kind of a younger person's show, but it's about a group of kids that basically are the kids that Watson gets to help him for his side projects in helping Sherlock Holmes in London, in that era in London. And so it's kind of like, you know, Sherlock Holmes could have something going on, and these would be all the little kids that helped in this little network of finding Watson's information. So kind of a neat concept. I like, you know, Sherlock Holmes stuff anyway. So it's called The Irregulars.
Okay. And we'll talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier Thursday. And
John Penn was great in it. I will say that.
Timothy Hutton was my favorite part.
Yeah. It was based on a true story, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that Thursday.
I watched this movie on Hulu called Corporate Animals.
What's that about?
Which it was pretty funny. It was Demi Moore. She plays this twisted boss of this stupid company called Edible Cutlery. And she decides that they need to come together. So they do one of those team building things and they go to like spelunk in some caves. It's her dumb ass. She has a fit and gets them to take the advanced route. None of them are set for this at all. There's a lot of good characters in it. Dude, you know, that guy from The Wire. He's one of the employees, Nassim Pedrad.
Isaiah Whitlock.
From SNL. Yeah. And the cast is great. And what's her face from Baskets, Martha? She's in it. And so they get down there and, you know, of course, cannibalism comes into play. But it's a dark, twisted movie.
Is it a comedy or is it?
It's a comedy. It's a comedy, but it's a very dark, dark comedy.
Okay.
So I recommend it. I thought it was pretty good. And I watched The Grand. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. It's a mockumentary, came out like I think probably 2013, but it's about poker. It's got David Cross, it's got Cheryl Hines, Ray Romano, Gabe Kaplan,
Jeff,
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I saw it back then.
Yeah, it's really good. And wow, I mean,
I've never even heard of it.
It was good. I think you would like it. I mean, it's no Best in Show, but it's very much in the vein of it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. And Spring Baking Championship, it's been really good. And Snowfall. What do I have to do to get you people to watch Snowfall? I don't know how else to say it, that it's just the best crime show on television. It's so fucking good. This episode this past week was amazing.
If Tyrone shaves his head, I'll start watching.
How many seasons are there so far?
We're in the fourth season right now.
How many episodes per season?
Like 13, maybe.
All right, I can get into it.
And I think this is the best season they've done. I mean, every episode is just, it's ratcheting up.
Is it Netflix?
It's on FX.
FX.
So you can do FX on Hulu and watch them all.
Cool.
They've got all four seasons in there.
All right.
So anyway, Snowfall. And my stat pick is Amazon Prime, March 26th, Robert Kirkman's animated series, Invincible.
Ooh.
With every cast member from The Walking Dead as voices.
Really?
A ton of people doing voices.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a complete.
Is Mark Wahlberg in it?
No, say hello to your mother. No, he's not in it, I don't think. But Steven Yeun is the lead character in it. And all of the reviews that I read is, at first, it just seems like your average superhero, blah, blah, blah. but the last, you know, scene or two is where it all changes. So they previewed like 3 or 4 episodes, and it's supposed to be really good. This was before The Boys. This was like basically written before The Boys, but The Boys made it to TV as a, you know, live action show before this animated show could make it. So this show is a lot like The Boys.
Seth Rogen is one of the voices too, and he wanted to do a live action adaptation of this before he did Preacher.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He never got to do it.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, I saw you watch 000. Was that any good?
It is good. I had to quit watching it only because I wasn't in the right frame of mind. That's like this kid gets killed. It's a very gritty and real. If you like Narcos, if that was like you're a fan of that, then you'll like 000. There's a lot of Italian and Spanish subtitles, but there's also like American people in it too. So it's one of those where it flips back and forth, but it's very gritty. I mean, people are being fed to pigs like right out the gate.
Damn.
First few scenes. Yeah.
And I heard that the budget for it must have been outstanding because there's these shots and the places they use and everything else is just this giant scope.
Oh, it's beautiful. Super cinematic. Very much. I definitely recommend. The kid got killed and it was so graphic and it was so real. And you know how it is sometimes where you just, I can't do that right then. So then I watched something funny and then I watched The Grand, you know. So I'm going to go back to it, but I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to watch it.
I hear that. All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of Radio Labyrinth. I want to thank our guest today, Brian Silverbacks. And again, reiterate, you can follow him at Silverbacks. Backs is spelled with an X. And we'll let you know when his Kickstarter for his Kara Prime goes live. You can check that KERRA Prime.com. But like I said, we'll let you know. We'll go over Falcon and Winter. I keep wanting to say it, the Falcon and the Winter Snowman on Thursday night show.
How much? Just a couple $100 a week.
How much? And then in the background, we cut the light, Fandango.
You know, Sean Penn.
Across the floor.
When you look back at that, though, Sean Penn played that so big.
He did.
So over the top. It was so ridiculous. You could tell like he was just learning how to act, really.
And Chris Makepeace was his younger brother in that movie. I think that's the last film you see Chris Makepeace in, at least to, you know. Do you remember Chris Makepeace from The Bodyguard?
Yeah.
Meatballs.
Woody the Rabbit.
Yeah. So he plays his little brother. And God, you know, Timothy Hutton is fantastic. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite movies from that era. It's, by the way, the movie Falcon and the Snowman is the movie that Captain Midnight interrupted when he hijacked HBO's signal. And our buddy Matt was recording it that night off HBO. So he used to have it on VHS. $8.99 a month for HBO. No way.
You can watch it for free right now on Pluto.
What, Falcon and the Snowman?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Michael Ironsides is in it, but he had a very small role. You call me bastard. I loved Michael Ironside. He was great in V, one of my favorite. So yeah, we'll talk about that. And everybody's seen it but me, so I'll watch it this week and we'll talk about it. And I'm sure there'll be lots of great scenes with
our boy Dudley from Lodge 49, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it was Dudley from Different Strokes.
No, Dud from Lodge 49.
Oh, that's awesome.
Big, Wyatt Russell.
Big part.
And they shot it here, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's see. What else did I want to say? A couple things I wanted to mention. Did I forget? Or I think I said them all. I'm getting old. I'm going to join AARP soon. I keep getting mail from them. It's like, leave me alone. I know I'm 50. Go to hell.
You're going
to
be with your AARP at the pee in the pod, getting your baby clothes.
That's right. You're going to buy my baby clothes. Oh, it's so nice. You're buying your grandson a present. All right. That's going to wrap it up for tonight. Steph, tell us about Barkville.org.
You know what we do? We foster dogs. We pull them from high kill shelters and then we put them in homes. And we need your help. If you want to foster a dog, if you'd like to adopt a dog, or if you'd like to give us some money, go to BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Woof. Oh, you know, the one thing I keep forgetting to do is if you don't watch the YouTube channel, but you do listen to the Radio Labyrinth podcast, please go on over to YouTube and subscribe. Because if you subscribe to us, that means we'll have more subscribers. And I think the goal for us is what, 1,000?
That's 1,000 to monetize.
Yeah, let's yep. do it. If you can. I mean, it's, you know, if you have a YouTube account, you don't even have to watch it, even though why wouldn't you want to watch it? I mean, look at us. We're fucking the pinnacle of everything you want to look at when you're listening to a podcast. I would, you know, that's why I watch. I watch it.
I do hair and makeup for like 3 hours before the show. I mean, I don't know. You can tell.
You can tell. Yeah. And I grew this beard just for you. No, seriously. Thank you very much for being there for us. All the patrons, all the listeners, all the viewers. But if that's one thing you can do, just go to YouTube and then upvote or whatever the hell you got to do, but do subscribe. And we will talk to you on Saturday morning. And until that time, Keep it canon. Yeah. Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers. And those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Wow. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are the, they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us the longest. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm going to send those shirts out. No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the... No, I'm kidding. I don't want the Redbox troll doll. I want him to have it, but... Now, our program directors, those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018. And John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number 5 on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.